the 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, DC Hendricks.
And welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Pleasure to be with you here with a new episode, latest episode here of the 260 Dugout Podcast. Of course, highlighting everything related with 260 baseball and baseball in Fort Wayne and the 260 area. Before we get started, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Make us one of your favorites by subscribing. And of course, you can scroll on down and leave us a review on Apple. Click write a review and let us know what you are thinking of this episode. Very excited for this new episode, as I got someone who is very busy when it comes to 260 baseball. Grew up here and has definitely given back to the game and continues to do so today in ways that he probably never even imagined. So this is a guy that grew up wanting to be a professional baseball player, had those dreams, and was able to accomplish those dreams on a nice level. And of course, is now giving back to the 260 and the youth that we have here and everything and above. 260 baseball today, we highlight the one and only Hayden Jones. Played high school baseball at Carroll High School, went on to play at Mississippi State, played in the College World Series, and joined the Cincinnati Reds. He signed with the Cincinnati Reds organization in 2021, spent some time in the minor leagues, low A, high A. In his last season with Dayton, he hit, I think it was 233. He had 258 at-bats, contributed with 60 hits, 12 doubles, and 10 home runs in his last year of professional baseball. He is a catcher, and you know I love my catchers, but as of today, is no longer associated with minor league baseball and is now giving back and has a new venture with the 260 Baseball Club, which isn't new. It's been established since 2004, but has come back and is, you know, giving training and lessons to the youth here in the 260 out at the 260 Baseball Club. So very excited to dig into that. His college days at Mississippi State, Illinois State. Yeah, like I said, playing in the College World Series in 2019. Growing up in a baseball family. Now, Jones was originally born in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and of course has baseball heritage that goes through his veins. His dad, Ken, played at Western Michigan and went on to play for the San Diego Padres, our Fort Wayne 10 Caps Major League affiliate, and was part of the 1995 MLB Draft. His uncle, Brad, as well, played at Ball State. He had a cousin that played at Huntington, and of course, his grandfather, Bill Jones, who is definitely near and dear to my heart, so I want to make sure to express what he meant to me in my youth and playing baseball here in the 260. So we got a lot to get to, as Hayden has done it all, but still isn't done. He is now giving back, and he's coming off his first season last year as a hitting and catching coach for our Indiana Tech Warriors right there on Anthony Street, and is still going to be doing that, a little bit of catching, helping with Indiana Tech, but he is also going to be coaching a travel team with the Parkview Sports Medicine 10 Caps and aligning with them, along with this 260 Baseball Club. So we got a lot to get to. We got 260 Baseball Royalty coming your way. This is my interview with Hayden Jones. At the top of the podcast, I mentioned we are here at the 260 Baseball Club, which means we have one of the Joneses, and we are lucky to have Hayden Jones here, who is very busy. Glad to get him on the podcast, as he has got his hands in all over 260 baseball and above. So Hayden Jones is joining the podcast today. Hayden, what's going on?
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, I mean, first thing, how's the summer been for you?
We're crazy busy, but that's a good problem to have, so can't complain with that. It's a good issue, but it's been fun, kind of laid back a little bit, and just kind of getting back in the swing of things now, building back up with kids, so it's good.
Yeah, super cool when I pulled up. You know, I'm watching you working with the kids, which is always good, man. That's, you know, I've coached a little bit, and, you know, that's the best thing we can do, you know, is giving back any way we can, and some of that way is by teaching, and you were doing a great job, just to say.
No, that's the thing to do, is that's what I wanted to do, is when I got out of playing career, my dad's done this for years, and whether it's coaching at the college level or just doing lessons, giving kids the availability to get things at the high level education that I had my hands to right every single day of my life, and there are not too many that can have that access to them, so it makes it easy for other kids to be able to have that available.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was going to start off with that, as I've mentioned on this podcast so many times, and this is probably the first time you're hearing it, but the audience is probably like, okay, we get it. But like, you know, growing up playing high school baseball, like I had my coach from high school actually on a couple podcasts ago because he coached a Georgetown Little League team that went to the state tournament. And he brought up the fact that I didn't play freshman and sophomore year because I was too cool. You know, I was too cool to play baseball. I didn't want to play baseball. I'd rather skip class and do the cool things that the cool kids were doing. But entering my junior year, I wanted to get back into baseball because I played it all throughout my youth. And I was trying to find a league to get into before high school. You know, it's fall. There's really not a whole lot of baseball leagues today anyway, unless you're playing travel ball. But back then, travel ball wasn't only the top players play travel ball. If you play travel ball, you were probably going to get drafted or at least talking to MLB teams. So it was harder to do that. But I looked around and I found this fantastic wooden bat league. And it was started by the one and only Bill Jones, who I'm sure you know, right?
Oh, yeah, just a little bit. So, yep, growing up, oh, just a little bit.
Yeah, so I always credit him for, you know, kind of I don't want to say rejuvenating, but kind of resurrecting almost my baseball career and really helped me get going. That was a fun league. He ran a very, very fun environment, very organized too, which is a lost art too when it comes to leagues. But your family, I want to start there because I'm sure you grew up in a baseball household that got you started very early. Talk about some of the genes that you have in your family in terms of baseball.
Yeah, so Grandpa from the coaching side, he kind of expected a lot out of me, as he did all the grandkids, being a Hall of Fame coach, scout for the Tigers. You know, he had a lot of knowledge to offer, and so that helped me. And again, he didn't hold anything back. He pushed me just like any other kid. And expected a lot. And same thing with my dad, you know, playing, you know, D1 baseball, playing professionally at the Padres, and then going back to coach at Ball State in Western Michigan for many years and having 10 plus big leaguers signed out of there. I mean, so we got a lot of knowledge, and there's a lot of extra information that not too many people in this area have to offer. And, you know, being around, I was the youngest grandkid, and having two other cousins, one played at Huntington University and the other one pitched at Dayton. There's a lot that it kind of got fed into us, and we were pushed to our best that we could be, and that was strictly ran from Grandpa. And now he raised, you know, my dad, my uncle, and kind of pushed us up through the system, I say.
Now, as you're going through this, so about what age did you start to realize, all right, this is fun for me? It's not just me being pushed. It's more of, you know, you reaching out and you wanting to put the effort in. About what age did you start getting a little bit more serious with the game of baseball?
I would say right when I was born, I was stuck with baseball. People say all the time that they were, but I remember I'd go out to the Western Michigan practices, and I'd be running around with the bat in my hand, or I'd kick mom off the field from throwing BP to me because she couldn't do it right, or to my expectations, and dad couldn't. And so that's where I think I really kind of got drawn to it and pulled. And then as I got older, I always loved the game, and I knew I was good, but I was like, man, I just know I'm good. I remember looking at my dad when we were watching one of the World Series, and it was actually Mississippi State who was on the TV, and I'm like, you think I can play there one day? And he's like, I don't know, it's up to you if you think you can, and if you can. And so now looking back, and now, boom, I played there and been there. So that's kind of when I got to high school or eighth grade year, when I first got my first offer, I was like, okay, I got something special I can do. And that was my talent. Lots of kids have other talents. That was my talent to focus on.
Yeah, so how was that for you? So in high school, let's go to the high school career. You know, when did the college offer start rolling through, and how was that process for you dealing with that?
It was a lot different than other kids back in those days, because recruiting is a lot different. Kids don't understand that now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot different where, you know, Purdue, Doug Schreiber was my first offer. He showed up. I was actually playing for Dave Bischoff over at New Haven. He needed an extra catcher. I was 14 playing in an 18U tournament. And I remember Schreiber was out there, and he didn't know I was there. Or I was a catcher, and you know, I backpicked the same kid twice on second, hit two balls off the center field wall, and it sparked my interest when I then found out that the kid was 14, and he goes, with wood bat, that's something special. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, I was doing my thing, but then, you know, freshman year, I'm up to 8 offers, and by sophomore year, it was, you know, 15, and then it was just pile on effect. people think, oh, that's a ridiculous number. It's like, I wasn't putting my foot out there. They found me. I didn't have to, you know, post videos. You know, we could do that. I didn't have to post videos. If you're good enough, they'll find you.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of kids don't understand that, you know, as a college coach now, if I find kids, but if you were trying to beg and pry putting videos out there from one swing to another, I'm not looking at that guy. I want the guy who just wants to go out there and play, and I can just find you. We can find you. But that's kind of where the trickle-down effect started, was high school. And, you know, I just played my game, mm-hmm. and it was normal. And I kept it simple.
That's the best way to do it. And you played at Carroll, right? You played with the Carroll Chargers. How was that?
It was awesome. Coach Ginderat, he taught me a lot. Coach Windmiller. Growing up through that, that set me, you know, I had great, my grandpa, my dad were great influences on my career and really got me to where my career got to. But Coach Ginder had a lot to help with that, whether it's situational stuff, just growing me up, not just hearing it from my dad, but hearing it from a different guy. And there were times, I remember talking to him a couple weeks ago and just, man, I thought you were crazy freshman year. We were doing some things, and I was like, this guy is nuts. Like, why the heck are we doing this? And I turn around, and we're doing the same thing when I got to college. And that was a team that went 52 and, like, 6 and got the World Series, and same thing when I got to pro ball. And that's the highest level guys. We're doing the same things. And, you know, it seems tedious at the young age, but it pays off at the end because you're like, wow, I already know how to do this. It's the same game. It's just at a different, higher level. Competitiveness. I give a lot of praise to him, and he was one of the greatest coaches I ever got to play for, and that's including professionally, mm-hmm. collegiately. Now obviously my dad had a lot to do, and I'm have a little sway towards him being the best coach I played for, but Ginder is right up there with him. I give a lot of credit to him helping me get to where I actually got to.
Yeah, and it's still a solid program at Carroll even today. So the college that you played for a couple of different colleges. Talk mm-hmm. about all that process and how your college career went.
Yeah, so it's a lot of things that people don't understand that went through the back scenes. That I share with kids a lot. I actually went through four head coaches from the time I committed to the time I showed up to campus. But I was going to commit to Coach Gary Henderson at Kentucky, and I absolutely love that man to death. And he actually called me up and said, hey, don't commit just yet. There's something happening. And he ended up getting pitching coaching job at Mississippi State and brought me down that next week to visit. And, you know, I wanted to play for him. We were on the same page, and as a pitching coach, as a catcher, if you can get paired up with that and get on the same plan, that worked. And we worked very well together. And then he got the interim job, and then another head coach, and then the coach I played for, Chris Simonis, got the job, and, you know, things just didn't pan out. I really had good fun my freshman year, kept it simple, and then there was just a lot of changing and moving parts going my sophomore year. It wasn't the same game. I wasn't the same self.
Mm-hmm.
I remember showing up the field just miserable, and I wasn't who my normal self.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I remember talking to my agent, talking to my dad, and it's just, I just need to refresh and get back to just being myself, Hayden, and having fun playing the game rather than, like, all the pressure like an elephant's on my shoulders.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun for me.
Yep.
And so that's when I decided to make the change and kind of came up to Illinois State and had a good fall, good spring, and just kind of, you know, things happened. And there was a lot of things in the background people don't know about and I won't share. But there was a lot of things I was being held back a little bit and kind of hidden, and it's, you know, things pan out, but things still worked out at the very end with the Reds getting me and, you know, doing what I did in my career. Not many can say that they got to professional ball,
mm-hmm.
and not many can say that they had a successful career, and kids don't realize that. You know, I was a 230 hitter, and 230 now is really good for guys.
It is. It is.
And so that was something that I look back at, and I'm like, did I do everything I could? And, you know, I walking around town, it's hard to, you know, people know who you are, and it's kind of embarrassing because you didn't get to the big leagues. You weren't the high draft pick everyone made you out to be, and now the team's made you out to be. But I accomplished still a lot, and it's kind of, people don't realize that and don't want to, you know, acknowledge that. And so that kind of makes it hard, but I don't need other people's feedback to really me to know I'm good. It's, you know, reliving it through these kids and helping them get to the next levels tells me that, you know, I actually did something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in baseball circles, I mean, we know that you accomplished a lot, because there's, you're one of like probably 15 kids in the next decade from around here that are going to play Division I baseball. Like, let's be serious. So, you know, in one way, and I tell all the kids this, you know, even the ones that are going to play Division I, like I talked to Luke Rhea. He was the first player, so I always use him as an example. He's the first high school player I interviewed on this podcast, and he's going to Toledo now to play Division I baseball. I told him, the moment you play Division I baseball, you're a role model to anyone that's playing high school or lower in the 260. So you've done above that. So you're definitely a role model. So don't take that lightly. But how did that go for you? You know, you're playing college ball, you know, after everything that you dealt with, and you still got that call from the Cincinnati Reds. Take me back to that moment.
No, it was good. It kind of added some fire underneath me of, you know, people are like, oh, you did, you know, you were in a draft. And it's like, it doesn't matter. I got in the system. And then boom, I was an everyday guy my first year in. Got called up. So that kind of added the momentum of pushing me to get to the next spot. It wasn't always about the money for me. That was just an added bonus. Like, not people would probably say, like, oh, well, that's because you didn't get it. So I got paid. There was extra money that my agent was able to get me because of schooling, and I had 3 years of eligibility. So I still got some money after, you know, just signing. So that was a nice part to have with it. But I just wanted to play the game. And looking back, I wish I would have taken the phone call I got in high school, but I also needed to mature and grow up, and that's why I'm glad I went to college, and my dad pushed me to do that. And a lot of kids don't realize they have a lot of growing up to do before, you know, the next step, before college even. I see it all around here with the high school kids, is that you see them and it's like, this kid doesn't understand. He's good, but he doesn't know how to carry himself. And, you know, college coaches look at that, and that'll eat you alive when you get to college. But no, that's kind of what helped me, is getting to college and taking that into pro ball and learning from what I went through, you know, the depression, and, you know, being on my own and understanding going through hard times. There's a lot of things that happened to me, not just on the field, but just as me as a person, that affected me, that helped me get through tough situations.
Yeah, and, you know, while, you know, the professional career probably didn't go as you anticipated, you quickly pivoted, and now you are doing fantastic things for the 260 baseball here. Talk about all the stuff that you got going right now, because it's, you know, I know you've been through a lot, and now you've just kind of put 2 feet forward and just kept going. So talk about everything you got going now.
And also, we've been really busy with, you know, being with lessons. My dad's been stacked up. He's always had close to 100, 120 kids throughout the year. And I'm getting to that point now. We were just actually making a list of all the guys who we do have. And I'm just right behind him. And, you know, Andy McManamal, who's also with us, is the same way. He's building his up. And it's just it's a trickle-down effect. If you do things right, more kids come. And if you give them the knowledge that you have, it just follows in the footsteps. Kids think, you know, they got to go every other place and pay the big bucks to go play somewhere. And that's not what it is. It's get the knowledge that you don't have at your hands. It's not about the video and how many times you can get posted. It's the stuff that you do when you're not being seen. It's, you don't have to be the social media butterfly. It's what can you do behind a closed door that's what gets you to the next level, not how many times you can get posted.
Yeah, so in addition to the 260 Baseball Club, which is a fantastic facility, by the way, it's my first time here. Looks great. It has me ready to revisit my high school days and go in and take around the buckets right here in front of me. Got me ready to take around. All seriousness, though, in addition to the 260 Baseball Club, I know you're also helping in Indiana Tech, and you just got an exciting new venture that just came up as well. Talk about that.
Yeah, and so I got Indiana Tech, so I'm dealing with the catchers over there, running them gun-ho. Had a real good success with them over there, and saw a lot of growth and development last year, stats-wise, and just the guys we had in general. So that was fun to have, and also with the hitters, you know, trying to give them also the feedback and knowledge that I have and what I went through my career and wish I did differently, or, hey, this worked for me, try this. This set me up for success. This didn't. Those things that I was able to have with my dad of, yeah, he had failure. He'd been through the struggles. And hey, this is how you get through it. That's what these kids, they don't have nowadays, and they don't understand how to get through those. But then with PSM 10 caps, you know, it's awesome having Josh come to me and asking me to help him start this thing up. And it's been a, you know, trickle down effect again. It's, you know, we need the kids travel ball around here. From the point when I was in travel ball, is the same way that it hasn't been ran correctly. And that's kind of why my dad did our own thing, running our summer team, to have it ran correctly, of development based, and so that when these kids are getting into high school, the head high school coaches don't have to recreate everything and actually teach them everything. They're going into it with the mindset and the knowledge of how to run a basic cut, a relay, plays at the plate, or just tag plays, the simple things they can focus on the 30 game season with a short practice span, and kind of get gung-ho on, you know, getting into the game speed. So that's a fun part of being able to handle, have some of the best kids in this area and help them develop to reach their goals. And hopefully they are able to, you know, they're going to have maybe one in, you know, 5-6 years that might get to where we were. It's not easy to do, but that's the fun part, is seeing kids just get to the next level and see their smile on their face that we had when we were able to have success. That's what makes this thing fun.
Absolutely exciting stuff. I mean, I know Josh Van Meter and the rest of the Parkview Sports Medicine 10 Caps organization are very, very enthusiastic about the program over there, and I'm sure they're glad to have you over there helping out. Before we let you go, though, one more time, promote how people can get a hold of you, in touch with you, and possibly come out here to the 260 Baseball Club and get a little instruction.
Yeah, so we do everything. If you follow us on social media, either Twitter or Facebook, just 260 Baseball Club. You can find us on Google Maps. But either you can reach out to my dad at 260-403-8935. Or myself at 260-602-6952. And we kind of just do it just by phone, text, or call, and get you set up and kind of start from square one and work our way up through private instruction and however you guys want to do it based off, and kind of work up from there.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. And I'll put all the links in the description as well for you guys to check out. Hayden, I know you're very busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. I really appreciate you coming on, spending a little time with me. We'll have to do this again, man. You're doing great stuff.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. So this is awesome.